just to review from the past couple of days. So we had a machlokas rishonim as to what exactly is the chashash for the Isser of Shehiyah. Is it because everyone agrees that that we're afraid someone's going, that we're going to stir the coals? The machlokas is why are we concerned that you're going to stir the coals? So we saw that the Rambam and Rashi are of the opinion that you're going to stir the coals because you want it to cook better. And we saw that you could say within Ran and Tosos that the reason why you're going to stir the coals is just because you have an open fire. So we're afraid that you're going to stir the coals, not because of any chashash that you want to stir the coals for the cooking process, but just because you have the fire that's right in front of you, so we're afraid that you're going to end up stirring the coals. And we said that this machlokas could also explain the machlokas as to what Gruf of Iktuma accomplishes. That if you say that the whole reason that we're afraid that you're going to stir the coals is because of the cooking process, you want to improve the cooking process, so then Gruf of Iktuma could, or at least Ketuma, will accomplish the fact that through ketumah you're showing that you're mesiach das from cooking it at all. And according to the Ran, at least with regards to the ketumah, he argues and he says all you need is a heker, and that the ketumah accomplishes a heker. You just need some sort of warning, a stop sign to tell you that you shouldn't stir the coals. Nothing to do with the cooking process. So, as far as I can tell, there are five nafkaminas between these two different approaches, and we'll deal with four of them. The fifth one is Chaisa, which we'll deal with, I guess, next week, but hopefully we'll deal with the four. Some of them we have already dealt with. The first one that we dealt with already is whether mitstamek, let's say something is mispashal kol tzorchov, and it's also mitstamek viralo. So does one have to do Gruf of Ketuma in such a case? We already addressed this. If it's mitstamek viralo and it's already completely cooked, so then there's no reason for you to stir the coals to improve in the cooking process. It's not going to help you in the cooking process. It's already fully cooked. It's just going to make things worse. So therefore, one shouldn't be concerned. So we saw already that Rashi and Lamed Zayin Aviz, this seemed to be a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos and Lamed Zayin Aviz, Rashi Lishitoso held that there really is no reason to assume that Mitzamek Viralo would require Gruf Ketuma. There's no Isser Shehiyah by Mitzamek Viralo because there's no concern. And Tosos argued, and we explained that the reason for Tosos to argue is that the chashash of stirring the coals has nothing to do with the cooking process, but it's just that you have a fire in front of you. We're afraid that you're going to end up stirring the coals. So how do we paskin in terms of that? So the Shulchan Aruch and Rishon Gimel Aleph paskins that if it's mitzvah geralo, so then you do not need to. If there's no Isser Shehiyah, you don't have to perform Gruf of Ketuma. You could put it directly on the fire. So this seems like Shitas Rashi and the Rambam, that the whole concern here is that one's going to end up stirring the coals because to improve the whole process. And so therefore, if that's the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, so then it also makes sense for the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch to hold. It's not mochrach, but it also makes sense for the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch to hold that what Ketuma accomplishes is that it shows that you are no longer involved in the whole cooking process. So it's just it's important to note that the Shulchan Aruch holds like Rashi and the Rambam in terms of this. And therefore we'll see that through the Nafkaminas, we'll see exactly how we paskin whether everything lines up or not. Because we're going to have a bunch of nafkaminas, and hopefully everything will work out in the end in terms of how we paskin. The second nafkamina we dealt with yesterday in terms of what the whole purpose is of ketuma, and that is the nafkamina about how one covers it nowadays with a blech. We know that in the times of the Gemara, the source of the fire and how one improves the fire, whether one increases the fire or not, was exactly in the same place. But nowadays, let's say, for example, with a stovetop, so then the stovetop is where you have the fire, and then you have the dials, which is how one increases the fire or diminishes the fire, is done through the dials. So we pointed out that if it's about being mesiach das, and showing that you don't want to be involved in the cooking process, and that's done through diminishing the heat, as Rashi points out in various places, that the point here is to diminish the heat, so then you would require to cover the actual fire itself, which is the opinion of Rav Moshe. If, however, the whole purpose is really just to show a heker, which is like the Ran, that you just need some sort of heker, so then it would make sense to have this heker at the place where one could increase or diminish the fire. So then it would make sense to have it by the dials. And that's the opinion of Rav Aaron Cutler. So we pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch seems to side, in terms of Mitzamek V'Ralo, seems to side with the Shita of the Rambam and Rashi. Then it also makes sense, it's not mukhrach, but also it happens to align. It doesn't. Rav Aaron Carlo doesn't have a problem, but it aligns well to assume like Rav Moshe that the place where you should cover is where the fire is and not where the dials are, because the whole concern here is about increasing the flame to improve the whole cooking process. So what you're going to accomplish through ketumah is to show that you don't want to be involved in the whole cooking process. So it makes sense to say like Rav Moshe that you want to cover the fires. It's not against the Shulchan Aruch to hold like Rav Aaron Carlo, because you could say that the whole point of the chashash is that you're going to improve the cooking process, and you could also say that just a heker ba'amo suffices. It's not against Rav Aaron Carlo, but it does help to at least the way the Rambam understands it and the Ramban, that being mesiach das does fit with the shita that holds that the whole point is to stir, the whole chashash is that one's going to stir to help improve the cooking process. So far we've dealt with two nafkminas over the past couple of days in terms of this whole big machlokas as to whether we're concerned for just stirring for an open fire, or whether we're concerned that you're going to stir to help improve in the cooking process. So we're going to have a few other nafkminas. The first issue to deal with is whether grufa or ketuma help in a case of kishibisho pachos mi macho ben drusai. All that we've been discussing until now is the shita of the chachamim of grufa or ketuma, and we've been assuming now that it's already somewhat cooked. The chachamim say that you require grufa or ketuma even if it's fully cooked. So we really haven't dealt with the case of where it's less than edible, it's not even edible, it's less than kamacha ben jusai. Would a grufa or ketuma help in such a case? So this, now that we're dealing with less than kamacha ben jusai, so now we're also dealing with the shita of Chananya. The shita of Chananya holds that when it's more than kamacha ben jusai, so then you don't require grufa or ketuma. But now that we're dealing with when it's less than kamacha ben jusai, so then even Chananya would play a role here. So then the question would also be, even within Chananya, would proof of ketuma help? Not just within the Chachamim, but even within Chananya, would it help or not? So just one ha'ara, which is going to impact this, is that this whole machlokes about why are you stirring the coals? Are you stirring the coals for the purpose of just the fact that there's an open fire out there, or are you stirring the coals to improve in the cooking process? That whole machlokes seems to be only within the Chachamim. Because within Chananya, it's clear that his whole chashash is about cooking, that you're going to stir in order to cook it. The very fact that he distinguishes between kamacha ben jusai and not, he says that once it's ready edible, so then we're not concerned that you're going to stir it. But when it's less than edible, it's less than kamacha ben jusai, so then we are concerned that you're going to stir it. So it's clear that according to him, the whole issue here is that you're going to stir in order to for the purpose of cooking. It can't be that we're afraid that you're going to stir if there's an open fire, because then you shouldn't differentiate between when it's cooked more than kamacha ben jusai and cooked less than kamacha ben jusai. Either way you go, we should be concerned that you're going to end up stirring the coals. So it must be that according to Chananya, the whole issue here is that you're going to stir in order to help in the cooking process. When it's less than kamacha ben jusai, so we're afraid that you're going to stir it to make it edible. Once it's ready edible, so he's not concerned anymore. There's no reason to assume that you're going to stir. It's ready edible, at least to the level of kamacha ben jusai. So it's important to keep that in mind as we go through all the various sources in terms of whether they're dealing with Chananya or whether they're dealing with the Chachamim. So it's important to keep in mind. So the Magen Mishnah in Gimel Dalet points out that the Rambam and the Rashba both hold that it would suffice to put the food on a fire if you performed Grufa Viktuma. It works. It does work. And Rabbeinu Yonah, which is quoted within Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Rush quotes this opinion in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is discussing the Gemara, the Mishnah. It says, Mishnah says in Yitzhak Beis, "In tzolan bar batal beitza elik deshi tzolan mi ba'od yom." You can't roast on Shabbos the meat unless it was roasted from already the previous day. And then the Gemara says, "V'kama, how much has to be from the previous day?" Kadeshi told me, "Bodyum kamacha ben jusai." So it has to be roasted already, kamacha ben jusai. So that seems like pashup shot. The Mishnah now sounds like Chananya. The Mishnah says that you have to cook it from kamacha ben jusai from before Shabbos in order to cook it on the fire on Shabbos itself. Comes along Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, once it's cooked, kamacha ben jusai, so then you can put it on the fire directly. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah and he says that no, it could even be according to the Rabbanan. The Mishnah could be even according to the Rabbanan. How could it be according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan doesn't differentiate between less than Kamacha ben Yishai and more than Kamacha ben Yishai. He says, no, they do, because the case of the Mishnah is dealing with the case of Grufa Viktuma. The case of the Mishnah is already when post Grufa Viktuma. And yet there's a difference between before less than Kamacha ben Yishai and more than in Kamacha ben Yishai. So Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that within the Chachamim, that if it's less than Kamacha ben Yishai, Grufa Viktuma does not help. The Mishnah is telling us that when it's even when it's Grufa Viktuma, that's only going to help when it's post when it's more than Kamacha ben Yishai. But if it's less than Kamacha ben Yishai, so then even Grufa Viktuma will not help. So we have a machlokas here between the Rambam and the Rashi on the one hand, who hold that Grufa Viktuma does help when it's less than Kamacha ben Yishai, and the Rabbeinu Yonah, who holds that it does not help. So how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So again, it's important to keep in mind that the Rabbeinu Yonah is only within the Rabbanan. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't directly deal with it within the Chachamim. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't deal with it. The Mishnah Berurah does, though. The Mishnah Berurah in Rishon Gimel Yud Gimel, when he's talking within the Chachamim, he says that Afilu Rak Nispashal Ktsas. He says that even if it's only nispashal ksas, it's only a little cooked, implication being that it's less than kamacha ben yishai, it would suffice to have grufa viktuma. So within the context of grufa viktuma, so he says, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that it would work, like the Rambam and the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch himself does comment in terms of Chananya. Within Chananya, the Shulchan Aruch says that grufa viktuma would also help. He says, within Chananya, v'lo huskara grufa k'tuma v'husak b'kashi v'gvava elak shihiskal ispasha v'lo higi l'macha ben yusai. He says the only time that for Chananya grufa k'tuma is necessary is when it's less than kamacha ben yusai. So it's clear that within the Shulchan Aruch, when it's less than kamacha ben yusai, so then within Chananya as well, that would suffice. That would work. So we see that the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the Shulchan Aruch, both for Chananya and for the Chachamim, Grufa Viktuma would help. Comes along the Bir Halacha in Divra Maskel Elok Shehizchel Ispashel, and this is all within Chananya. To keep in mind, we have to keep in mind who we're dealing with here. Within Chananya, the Bir Halacha says, he quotes Rabbi Kiveger, who essentially paskins like Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbi Kiveger quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah says that it does not help to cook Kamacha ben Yishai. It doesn't cook to even when it's grufa viktuma, when it's less than kamacha ben yishai. Oh, so we're gonna get there. Exactly. So this is what Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha is quoting Rabbi Akiva Yair, who quotes Rabbi Yonah, who says that according to the Chachamim, grufa viktuma less than kamacha ben yishai does not help. It's exactly like what Nimrod pointed out, that the Shulchan Aruch is going within Chananya. The Bir Halacha is now quoting Rabbi Akiva Yair, who quotes Rabbi Yonah, who's going within the Chachamim. So keep that in mind. Okay, so these are all the shitas. So what exactly is this machlokas? What would be the machlokas in general, whether grufa viktuma would help or wouldn't help in a case where it's pachos kamacha ben yishai? So let's go back to what exactly grufa viktuma, what are they accomplishing here? So if you say that the whole purpose here is just to act as a hecker, so then it's pasha. Why wouldn't it work? It's acting as a hecker, whether it's kamacha ben yishai or whether it's less than kamacha ben yishai, whether it's more ben yishai. In the end of the day, the purpose of grufa viktuma is to act as a hecker, so then grufa viktuma should work. What if you say that no, it's not acting as a hecker, but it's really showing that you don't want to be involved in the whole cooking process? So then the Chasam Sofer points this out. He says that really it should be subject to machlokes. We know that the Rambam holds that the whole purpose of grufa viktuma is to show that you're no longer involved in the whole process. So the Rambam holds that the whole purpose is to show that you're not involved in the process, and the Rambam also holds, the Magen Mishnah said, that grufa viktuma does help when it's less than kamacha ben yishai. So the Rambam holds that. Rambam holds both. Rambam holds that that the whole point is to show that you're misiach das, and he also holds that it does help when it's grufa viktuma, when it's less than kamacha ben yishai. So according to the Rambam, says the Chasam Sofer, we see that grufa viktuma would help to show that you're Mesiach Das even when it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, which is a bit of a chiddush, because it's not even edible right now. We're dealing with where it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai. It's not edible at all. So why is this on the fire? Clearly it's on the fire because you want it, you want to eat it. When it's already edible, even just minimally edible, so then I could hear that the whole point of Guf V'Ketumah is just to keep it warm. You really don't want to cook it, you're not going to end up stirring it, it's just there to keep it warm. But when it's not edible at all, it's a chiddush to say that through Guf V'Ketumah you're showing you that you don't want to cook this further. Clearly you do want to cook this further if you're putting it on the fire. You want this thing to be edible. Yet, the Rambam says the Chasam Sofer, he holds that no, this does suffice to make it that you no longer want to be involved in the whole cooking process. So as of now, we have it that whether it's a hecker, whether the whole point is to act as a hecker, or whether the whole point is to show that you don't want to be involved in the cooking process, Guf V'Ketumah should work. So then what's the problem with Rabbeinu Yonah? Why would Rabbeinu Yonah argue and say that no, it doesn't work when it's less than Kamachal Mujasai? Because we just said that either way you go, it should work to act as a hecker, and it should work to show that you are no longer involved in the whole cooking process. So Rabbeinu Yonah would end up holding that no, in terms of Mesiach Das, it doesn't work. Like what we were saying before, if it's not edible, so then how could you tell me that you're showing that you're no longer involved in the whole cooking process? It's not edible. The whole reason why I'm having it on the fire is so that it becomes edible. I want to be involved in the whole cooking process. Guf V'Ketumah should not help when it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai. So going back to our previous Nafkaminos, how did we hold in terms of this whole Machloka? So we held like the opinion that said that it's about being Mesiach Das. We hold like the Rambam, that it's about Mesiach Das. But now, we're open in terms of paskening. Well, now that it's about being Mesiach Das, so then, now we're open, should we pasken like the Rambam, or should we pasken like Rabbeinu Yonah? Because both of them are within the Shita of the whole purpose of Guf V'Ketumah, is to show that you're no longer Mesiach Das. The Rambam holds that would suffice within Guf V'Ketumah, even if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, that wouldn't suffice if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai. Fine. So we pointed out that the Bir Halacha is within, he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch is within the Chachamim. And yet the Bir Halacha is quoting Rabbi Kiva Eger, who is within Chananya. Sorry. The Shulchan Aruch is within Chananya, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoting Rabbi Yonah, who's within the Chachamim. So Rabbi Willig has the following thought. Rabbi Willig says that, really the Bir Halacha is wrong, because the Bir Halacha is commenting within Chananya, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is only within the Chachamim. So yes, it's true that within the Chachamim, we could say, like Rabbeinu Yonah, that if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, then it won't work. But according to Chananya, perhaps if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, then it will work. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is going within Chananya. Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah is within the Chachamim. So perhaps only within the Chachamim will Rabbeinu Yonah hold that if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, then Guf V'Ketumah won't work. But who said that Chananya agrees? Maybe Chananya will hold that no, if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, then Guf V'Ketumah will work. And I believe that, I'm not positive, but I think Rabbi Willig liked the read of the Rush of the Chazon Ish, and I think Rabbi Willig also holds of Chananya. So he's saying that within Chananya, you could say that if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, even according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah is the only opinion that holds that if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, that Guf V'Ketumah won't work, but Chananya himself will also say that, Rabbeinu Yonah will say that within Chananya, that less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, Guf V'Ketumah will work. This is what Rabbi Willig is saying. So, within Chananya, everyone would agree. Both the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah would agree that if it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, then Guf V'Ketumah will work. So the only question that I have on this is that why would you differentiate between the Chacham and Chananya? Again, we said earlier that within Chananya, it's clear. The Chananya holds that the whole chashash of stirring the coals is about Mesiach Das, because the fact that he differentiates between Kamacha Ben Yosai and not, that we're not choshesh that you're going to stir the coals when it's more than Kamacha Ben Yosai, and we are choshesh when it's less than Kamacha Ben Yosai, so it's clear that for Rabbeinu Yonah, the whole concern here for stirring the coals is that you're going to be involved in the cooking process. So it also makes sense for Rabbeinu Yonah to say that the whole purpose of ketumah is to show that you are removing yourself from the whole cooking process. So that's clear within Chananya. Within the Chachamim we had a machlokas, but within Chananya it's clear that the purpose of grufa ketumah is to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. So we pointed out that according to the Chachamim, the way we paskin, we said it was a machlokas, but within the Chachamim, the way we paskin, the Chacham also hold that the whole purpose of grufa ketumah is to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. So both the Chachamim and Chananya hold, the way we paskin, for sure within Chananya, and the way we paskin within the Chachamim, that the whole purpose of grufa ketumah is to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. So then why would one differentiate between the Chachamim and Chananya? Rabbi Willi wants to differentiate between the Chachamim and Chananya and say that Rabbeinu Yonah is only within the Chachamim to say that grufa ketumah doesn't help when it's less than kamacha ben yusai, but for Chananya will help. But in the end of the day, they hold the same thing. When it's less than kamacha ben yusai, they both hold that we're concerned that you're going to stir for the cooking process. So then they should both hold either grufa ketumah does help to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process, or they should both hold that it does help to perform grufa ketumah to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. But why would the two shitas have a machlokas with regards to this point? This point is they should hold to the same thing. They have a machlokas about whether we're concerned to begin with or not when it's more than kamacha ben yusai. But when it's less than kamacha ben yusai, everybody agrees that the whole chashash here that you're going to stir for the purpose of the cooking process. So then the whole point of grufa ketumah is to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. So then they should both agree with regards to this point. When it's less than kamacha ben yusai, they should either both hold that grufa ketumah does help to show they're no longer involved, like the Rambam, or they should both hold that it doesn't help. But why would you differentiate between Chananya and Chachamim? So therefore, I think that's where the Bir Halacha is coming from, and that's why the Bir Halacha is quoting Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Rabbeinu Yonah, even though he's within Chananya. I'm not sure why he doesn't quote him within the Chachamim, but either way, he's quoting him within Chananya, but with regards to this point, both Chachamim and Chananya should both agree that if you hold like Rabbi Yonah, that grufa ketumah should not help within the cooking, should not help if it's less than kamacha ben yusai. But in the end of the day, it ends up being a maisa. In the end of the day, it ends up being a machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Akiva Eiger as to whether we're concerned for this opinion, right? Because the Mishnah Berurah said that the Shulchan Aruch holds with it. The Shulchan Aruch clearly holds with it within Chananya. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we also hold that it does work within the Chachamim. So in the end of the day, within the Chachamim and within Chananya, the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch hold that grufa ketumah less than kamacha ben yusai would work. It would help to show that you're no longer involved in the cooking process. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Bir Halacha quotes this, would hold that it doesn't work. So it ends up being a machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Shulchan Aruch is not concerned for Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger is concerned for Rabbeinu Yonah. So just Lamaisa, in terms of how we paskin, they say that this is a machlokas between Lithuania and Galicia, whether we're Machmer or Mekel. Lithuania? Lithuania is Mekel. I know it makes a big difference. And Galicia is... which one? G-A Galicia, thank you. G-A-L-I-C-I-A, I believe. It was Machmer. When does this come up? So this comes up. It's a machlokas between the Chassidim and Misnagdim.
Galicia
was Machmer Chassidish. So they were Machmer. So this comes up by Cholent in the crackpot. So we're going to discuss next week about a chaisa, about a case of where it's completely not cooked. So we're going to. Let's say you have a case where you put the cholent into the crackpot with enough time where it's already somewhat cooked, but it's not fully cooked before Shabbos. Or not even not fully cooked, it's not even kamacha ben yusai. So you put it in a little bit before Shabbos, but it's not, and it can't get cooked enough that it reaches the level of kamacha ben yusai. So would grufa ketumah help in such a case? So that l'chora would depend on this machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch should hold that that's fine. Grufa ketumah should help when it's less than kamacha ben yusai. And according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger is concerned for the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, who holds that it doesn't work. So I know that Rabbi Neuberger is Mikkel, to say that it could, it does work. So Rabbi Neuberger therefore says that we're going to see next week that Chaisa also works, that if it's completely raw, so then you could also just have it on the fire without Grufu Ketuma. Yeah.
Rabbi Neuberger is Mikkel because he holds
like the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
Rabbi Neuberger just passed like the Shulchan Aruch. He says the Shulchan Aruch passes to be Mikkel, the Mishabur passes to be Mikkel. We're not concerned for this opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. Fine. So therefore, one could do Grufu Ketuma. One would have to cover the knob and also layer the inside of the crackpot with aluminum foil. But he holds that would work. Another case that's brought, which I don't think is so common, is that if you don't have an urn, but you want to boil water on Shabbos, or you're boiling water for Kedera Agave Kedera purposes, which we'll get to in a few weeks, is, let's say you want to put water, a pot of water, on the blech. But you put it on too close to Shabbos, where it's not going to reach the level of Kamacha ben Jusai. So then, would it suffice to put the pot of water on the blech? Would the blech count for Grufa Victuma purposes? So that would be the same machlokas. Happens to be that Rav Moshe says that you shouldn't do this. In the case of the water boiling on the blech, he has a concern that you shouldn't do this because he's afraid that you're going to end up taking some of the water out. And if you take some of the water out, like just to use, so then that's going to help in the whole cooking process. This isn't even cooked yet. It didn't even reach the level of Yad Seledesbo. So it's going to help in the cooking process. To take some of the water out will make the other water cook faster. So he's concerned that you're going to end up taking some of the water out. Rav Henkin is concerned that... Rav Henkin from Baltimore is concerned that if it's on the blech and it's not even Yad Seledesbo's bow, so then he's afraid that you're going to move it closer to the fire. If you move it closer to the fire, so then you're going to end up cooking it.
That's covered.
You're still going to cook. It's not even cooked yet.
What does that mean, close to the fire?
The blech is a large area. There are certain parts in the blech where the fire of the stovetop is directly right beneath the blech. So if you take it from an area which is further away from the fire and move it closer to the area of the fire, so then that would be chai mishum bishul, because you're moving it closer. You're helping it get closer and closer to cooking.
So whenever you speed up the process, it's a problem.
Yeah, anytime you speed up the process, it's a problem. So Rav Henkin thinks that you should be concerned for that. Again, with regards to the crackpot, you really don't have these concerns, but you only have these concerns by moving the water. If water is, you're boiling water, it's not fully cooked yet, so then to move it closer, you would be chai mishum bishul. I think Rav Neuberger also points out that he doesn't understand this chumrah of Rav Henkin. He says, because we know that you're allowed to, Grufa Ketuma works in a case where it's only for the chacham when it is kamacha ben yusai. When it's at the level of kamacha ben yusai, so then it does work to put the food on the blech. And we also paskin that to cook on Shabbos from the level of Kamacha ben Yusai, this was the machlokas Rishonim, but the way we paskin to cook from the level of Kamacha ben Yusai until Nisvasha called Tzorcho is a chiyev on Shabbos. To help improve a cook from Kamacha ben Yusai until fully cooked is chayev on Shabbos. Just to raise it from that level. And yet, when everyone agrees that you're allowed to put on the blech food which is already kamacha ben yusai, we're not concerned you're going to end up moving it to the place which is closer to the fire. So he says that from the fact that we see that we're not concerned that you're going to move food which is only kamacha ben yusai closer to the fire to make it fully cooked, which would also be chayev on Shabbos, so we see that we're not so concerned for these things. So therefore, even if it's not cooked at all, so we're not concerned that you're going to end up moving it closer to the fire. So Rav Neuberger doesn't see a reason to be machmir in this situation.
Like Meichi Tezi Rav Moshe too. Like, you're gonna take water from, like, before it's gonna get cooked. You could say that about food as well.
The food as well. You could say the same thing. Yeah.
Is Rav Neuberger mingle with Rav Moshe?
Yeah. I assume that he was also. I wasn't certain about that. That's why I didn't mention it. But I assume that
maybe
the same.
Maybe water is easier to take out. I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about that. So that's yeah.
You can say you're only gonna move it if it's not so cooked. If it's not cooked, once you move it, you say you're only gonna move it.
It's going to get cooked either way. Either way, it's really going to get cooked. Meaning,
so why you want to move it?
So you agree that there shouldn't be a chashash to move it. But Hagin just says you want it to get cooked faster. So the chashash is not about whether it's going to get cooked or not, but it's just about whether it's going to get cooked
with
faster.
Also. Just stop. That is the chashash of chitoy.
That it's going to get cooked faster. Yeah, that's the whole chashash of chitoy. Yeah, whether it's going to get cooked faster. But now that you did Grufa Ketuma already, The question is, are we still concerned that you're going to want to move it even closer? That's the question. So Rav Henkin would be machmir on that, and Rav Neuberger is making in terms of that. Okay.